You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Not allowed in OnlyFans due to HR.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hance. I come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes, Greg Rosenthal. And oh yeah, she's back. With the promise that she didn't have to do any homework to be on today's show. It is the immortal Connie Fox, Colleen Wolfe. How you doing, Connie?
I'm great. This is way better than last time, though I still have the splint on my finger, so it's really difficult to type.
No.
And the landscapers just showed up to mow the lawn, so the dogs are freaking out. But other than that, like, we're good.
Yeah, the sound's got some issues. You might be the first guest we actually kick off.
Damn it, really?
I mean, I know you did homework anyways. You said, you know, you just find homework to do. So I think it's something that you like to do.
Listen, if you're going to kick me off, like, you don't have to. I'll just leave if you want. I'll pull a U.
Colleen, not being paid for today's program. Important to keep that in mind. Connie, so it is indeed a fractured finger from the past from Kurt Warner. Did you get anything beyond a cursory, like, LOL, whoops, a tweet from Warner, or even a sliding into the DMs, not good enough? It's got to be a phone call and even an offer to help out in some way, financially or otherwise. Take us through it.
He texted me and said, hey, at least it's a good story. So I have to wear a splint now for 6 to 8 weeks, which means I'll be doing Thursday night football with a splint on my finger. And
wait, really?
part of me is considering, like, maybe I should just take this off and have a crooked finger the rest of my life. It would be like a Hulk pinky, basically.
Oh, no, don't do that.
But this is really embarrassing, and they're going to give me so much heat for it. And also, I keep jamming it on things because it's just, like, unwieldy a little bit. So
it takes the short-term pain, though, of wearing it and the embarrassment versus the long-term pain, which is Baldy getting asked about his fingers every single hit that he's ever done on any television network ever, including ours.
True.
Every single time. It's very annoying.
And me. Also, although, like,
yeah.
No, I was just going to say, Baldy's a good sport about it, and he's also a giant man, offensive lineman, retired. Like, it's part of his whole shtick. Like, you're a TV presenter. You can't have a hook on the end of your hand.
I don't know. It is something that has crossed my mind, but every time I go to the doctor, I have to fill out these forms and answer all these questions, and they're like, is this a work-related injury? Did this happen at the workplace? Mm. And I'm like, I mean, it did, technically, but I'm like, not going to go there.
I was going to say, I'm not a litigious man, but I think in terms of just getting your name out there, like the Nirvana baby from the Nevermind album.
Yes.
Little naked baby swimming towards the dollar bill on the hook just sued the band for, I don't know what, child pornography?
Sexual exploitation, I think, right?
All right. Yeah. Like, is that, there's no way you launching a lawsuit against Kurt Warner in the NFL is worse than that. So I don't know. Just think about it. Like
it's
maybe
leverage.
You get a, yeah,
it's in your pocket. It's in your pocket in the next negotiation
if you need it.
Will you guys represent me?
Sure. I was in mock law for 1 year, 2 years, I think. Mock law.
Okay.
Greg will be your lawyer, and I would be in the front row of that courtroom for every day of the trial. Yes, Connie's here. That's awesome. This is a bunker cast. We had the fantasy extravaganza, how to have the perfect draft on Wednesday, and that is an evergreen type show, obviously, through the draft season, barring injuries, and then it becomes completely out of date. But for now, it's still very good. So make sure you check that out. And today we'll be just catching up on the news, since Wednesday's show was pretty self-contained in fantasy world. And just before we get to the news, just a quick update on Mark, because I know everybody loves Mark, and Mark's been out of the picture. He is on the mend. He's dealing with, as I said, he has the blood clots that are kind of a issue that pop up every once and again, and unfortunately it kind of knocked him out of action. But I talked to him yesterday. He's getting better, and he's planning to be back next week. So that is the Mark Sessler update, and I could tell you he is thankful for all the well wishes he's received during his absence.
Get well
snarky
soon,
to say
Mark.
There.
We miss you, Mark.
I know. He will listen. I mean, I know, and I think he did listen to Monday's show, so he was a big fan of Arif Hassan. Thought that was a nice voice to add to the mix.
All right, let's do some news.
Aye, Steinbrenner being a maniac. He wanted his own Nomo, even though Irabu was a far lesser pitcher. He got scammed.
All right, that's a little inside baseball, but we have a text chain for, I think it's ATN Bastardos, and we're all on it. And I also have a parallel text chain that is with a bunch of Yankees fans, and I was talking about a pitcher from Yankees past, Hideki Irabu, and I accidentally sent it to the wrong chain. I sent it to the ATN chain. And then, Erica, you have some type of Siri thing that led to a funny dictation of it.
So I have my Siri set to an Irish brogue, so it will read me text messages in a brogue. I don't know why I did that, but it just sounds a little bit more interesting. And when it read your text in the brogue, it just like, it really, I think, just hit a little different. It was nicer. Did you just answer a phone call in the middle of this, Dan?
I did. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go
pick up. I'm on my way to pick up the kids, too, so I'll see you guys.
My mic is all messed up. Like, I don't know.
I enjoy that. I have a... Wait, there's a...
Get us out of the bunkers.
There's a turf guy calling. Hang on. Hello? Hello, hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was just calling. It's Big now, calling to let you know that I'm on my way. Night will be there closer to that 11 o'clock mark.
All right, good. That's good. That puts me on a tight deadline work-wise, but that means I have to be done by 11 o'clock. Thank you.
No worries. I'll make sure I'm there at 11:05.
All right, great. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
Are you getting turf? Is that what's happening?
I'm doing some work in the backyard.
I mean, Victor, speaking of litigious, we're using him without asking. He, if he doesn't want his name and his... And his company being mentioned here, he could get us in court.
I hope he's a listener.
All right, let's get to it. I do like that you have a lilting Irish brogue dictation device on your phone. It's
great.
Very on
brand. I highly recommend it.
For Colleen Wolf. All right, let's get to it. Starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars, what a brave maneuver by head coach and team architect Urban Meyer, who said that Trevor Lawrence will be indeed his starting quarterback in week one. This comes after a summer of madness in which Urban Meyer kept the door open in a mock competition with Gardner Minshew. Here's what Meyer had to say about his decision.
We wanted him to earn it, as we do with every position. We felt he has after the last nice performance was it was good, obviously not great, but we didn't run the ball very well, but I kind of, in my mind, had that as after the second preseason that we kind of have to get someone ready to play in 3 weeks.
I think the Jaguars are doomed. Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still welcoming everyone to my corner of rooting against Urban Meyer for the most part. I've been doing it all summer. was here early, and so far I'm feeling pretty good about this stance. I feel bad because I want Trevor Lawrence to be good. He seems like a really nice soul and a very fun player to watch, and I do worry that he's entering a doomed situation. I went back and forth with an unnamed NFL insider about, like, well, actually, Trevor's, like, kind of stunk at practice, and that's why they were splitting the reps. And
oh my God,
I'm like,
who
okay.
is it? Who's
well,
the
if he's stunk, if he's been stinking at practice, that's all the more reason why he needs more reps. You know who's been
yes.
even worse than Trevor Lawrence in these preseason games? Gardner Minshew. So get the dude ready. This was all silly, and I just don't want them to ruin Trevor Lawrence with Daryl Bevel and this Jaguars offensive line. I think people might be overreacting a little bit much, but not to the Urban Meyer sideline demeanor. Like, I think he's going to have a really hard time here. Even if they overachieve and, like, win 6-7 games, he just seems like he's so tightly wound. I don't know how that's going to transfer to his young quarterback.
I mean, this is a team that lost 15 straight games to finish last season. This is not a quick fix, not a quick thing that they can turn around. This is a long-term project. And both Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are so used to always winning and always being with successful programs. So I'm really interested to see how they react to losing because it's inevitable. I mean, even the first string offense, when you look at the way that they performed in the preseason, 3 total points in the first half of both of those games. So it's not like this team even looks like they're going to make any type of jump. But I'm really excited for week 1 because it's Jags-Texans, and I think that's going to be real exciting.
I mean, you couldn't have a better way to set the table if you're Urban Meyer against the worst team in football, most likely. And
or,
I guess,
or you could look at it the other way, which is
all right.
That's a bad L, and at best, I feel like that's
a coin
flip game.
See, now I think you've taken it too far. I think you've officially now taken it too far.
You don't think in the NFL where there's not much separation between these teams in general that that's a coin flip game? That's absolutely a coin flip game. So if you lose that game, that doesn't feel good as a starter.
I don't think like the Jaguars should be 18-point favorites or anything like that, but I am wary there is the Urban Meyer pile on, and I am a part of it because I just doomed them at the beginning of this conversation. But there are some signs here that this could go sideways, but it's still also for the Jaguars, a time and their fans of great optimism. Maybe not so much around these parts.
Yeah, okay, it's worth pointing out they were missing 3 of their starting offensive linemen, their best 3, you know, for both of those preseason games, and they are back on the field now. You know, one was held out healthy, and the others are back at practice, and that's huge.
We strive for balance on this podcast, and right. There it is.
That's right. Huge. But I questioned this coaching staff from minute one, not just Bevel,
you
but
did.
The defensive coordinator. And I just think it could be a learning process with Urban Meyer.
Gotcha. And CBS Sports' Pete Prisco reports some Jaguars players aren't thrilled about head coach Urban Meyer's coaching style and practice tactics. And speaking of the Jaguars, they placed first-round pick Travis Etienne on injured reserve. Oh, she strikes again, that harlot. Liz Frank.
Frank.
I hate her.
She's the worst.
A true witch. Liz Frank strikes again. It's a serious foot injury. There was hope that it would be a less severe sprain, but it's a tear, surgery necessary, and 22 years old, his rookie season wiped out as he's moved to injured reserve, making him ineligible to return. Colleen, this just sucks. I mean, this is Trevor Lawrence is still locked and loaded at number 1 overall, but Etienne was the other part of this offense that everyone was excited about. And it's good news for, I guess, James Robinson fantasy owners, but everybody else, bad.
Yeah, I feel like I came out in this podcast and really just, maybe I'm not being fair to Jags fans at this point, but this is really tough to swallow for them. And honestly, this pick, though, kind of surprised me when it happened because it was their second first-round pick, and they already had James Robinson. And I know that Urban Meyer wanted to use him at wide receiver and do some type of, like, Percy Harvin situation like he had before because he was so explosive, Etienne. But Urban was, I think, really upset, and he even said so, that they didn't get Kadarius Toney in the draft, the wide receiver that the Giants got. And so Etienne kind of felt like a panic move a little bit for me. And this is awful for him just as a player to lose his rookie season. But James Robinson, it'll be good for him at the running back spot. He broke the record for undrafted rookies with over like 1,400 yards from scrimmage last year. He was really good. He was a real surprise. But it's a bummer for the offense in general, because having Etienne out there would have maybe made things easier for Trevor Lawrence and this offense as a whole to make this ball move.
Right. Etienne, to me, is the perfect like way to look at Urban Meyer's struggles so far. It's not his fault. Etienne's never been hurt in his life, seriously. So it's terrible luck. And as Dan mentioned, if you get put on IR after all the cuts, which are next Tuesday, they've changed the schedule, then you can be on short-term IR and come back in 3 weeks. But this means you're out for the season. Not only did they draft Etienne, he was playing as a third-string runner right now because they took Carlos Hyde, Urban Meyer's old buddy from Ohio State, and I don't know. He was your third-string runner, and the whole like receiver thing, which he mentioned off the top, they like asked Daryl Bevel about that, and they're like, he was just like, yeah, this is the NFL. He's a running back. It's like, you know, they put him out there for about three practices, and it's like, of course he can't compete with actual slot receivers as a true receiver. It doesn't mean you can't split him out and that they weren't going to use him, and that he might have a good career. Who knows? But it was just a strange pick, and I feel bad for him. You missed that rookie year. I don't think it'll affect their team much. I mean, their running game should be fine with Robinson and Hyde.
In other running back news, we touched on it briefly in the fantasy extravaganza, but we'll hit on it again here. Sony Michel on the move from the New England Patriots to the Los Angeles Rams, the former first-round pick, taken one pick before Lamar Jackson in 2018, has been sent to Los Angeles in exchange for conditional picks in 2022, fifth- and sixth-round conditional picks. And this is something, Greg, that we were kind of edging toward. It felt like all through the summer, once Cam Akers went down with the Achilles tear, that the Rams were going to get a veteran presence in that backfield. It's Sony Michel. Are you a little surprised that the Pats pulled the plug on Michel as a former first-round pick? Damian Harris broke out last year, but he's been a guy that struggled to stay on the field. You take away some depth there as well.
No, because they're so deep at running back. They really like Ramondre Stevenson, who was a fourth-round pick. They have this guy, J.J. Taylor, second time he's been on the team, undrafted guy from last year who's like 5'3". He's my hero.
And they're not picking up his option either.
They have James White. They just have a lot of bodies. And Michelle's looked like really good in the preseason, supposedly had a good camp. So I think it could be a win-win. They actually changed the trade terms. Since the time we did the fantasy spectacular, the NFL was like, no, you're not. Oh, fantasy extravaganza. You're not allowed to trade conditional compensatory picks. The Rams and the Patriots were told by the NFL you can't. So the trade is officially a 2023 fourth round pick and a 2022 sixth round pick, which seems a little better for the Patriots. Maybe they had some leverage here after the league was like,
how the hell did this happen in the NFL?
I don't know. It was very when I read the whole thing, it was complicated because basically the Rams were counting on getting this conditional pick that they would give to the Patriots, but they didn't have it yet because, you know, the formula hasn't been set, and the NFL's like, no, you can't do that. And so, yeah, they're getting two picks for Michel, which is fine, but let's not overreact. I mean, these are still two picks of guys who will be 50% likely to make the Patriots team whenever they take it. So let's calm down. Sony Michel, I would not be surprised, has a very good year for the Rams and is a factor because it's a run-friendly team.
Well, they desperately needed someone to spell Daryl Henderson there. And Matt Stafford, he's never had a running game. And then he finally comes to L.A. and Cam Akers goes down, which is such unfortunate timing. So I think bringing in Sony made a lot of sense. He complements Daryl Henderson really well. And it also obviously makes sense for the Patriots, too. We could have told you, I feel like even a month ago, you could see that this was going to happen. I was kind of surprised that it didn't happen sooner. But when it did go down, it just makes sense for both teams.
Well, it's because Les Snead and Sean McVay were both there in the stadium along with Dan Hansis for one of Dan's favorite games of all time, 13-3, greatest Patriots Super Bowl victory of all time. Sony Michel at starting running back, and you know, finishing a great postseason run.
I mean, if I were a man of extreme wealth, I would have given a refund to every fan in that building, including Patriots fans.
Patriots fans loved it.
You just get used to good competitive Super Bowls now. So when a real stinker hits you in the face, like a hard mollywop,
It's like everyone's always like, hey, how come football is not how it used to be back when men played? It's like, hey, there's Super Bowls 3 through, you know, 17 for you right there.
That's how about, Greg, I'll use your own like extreme psychology that you try to pull all the time. That says more about you than it says about me. You always bring up that game and how bad it was and how you know, people complain about it.
It is my favorite Patriots Super Bowl, though, other than the first one, though. It really is. It really was
such a Greg take, but that's cool.
So many to choose from, Greg.
In other Patriots news, Mac Jones has had all week to work with the first team. Cam Newton is now back as of Thursday with the team after his COVID mix-up. It was labeled a misunderstanding, led to him missing multiple practices. Mac Jones gets 500-plus practice reps, it was reported by NBC Sports Boston. And Tom Curran, a friend of the show, had this quote, Connie. There's no on-field reason for Cam Newton to ever take a meaningful regular season snap for the Patriots while Mac Jones is upright and able. And thankfully, Connie, Bill Parcells also, Bill Belichick, as he's known to do, very open with the media on the situation. Let's hear what Bill had to say.
Yeah, don't really have anything to add, Dan. You released a statement. I think that covered as thoroughly as we can without, you know, getting into a, you know, a lengthy thing. So let's leave it at that.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Referring to Cam Newton's situation. Connie, do you think it is going to be Mac Jones' job? And if it is, do you think it's because of what happened with Cam Newton and COVID?
Well, now if Tom Curran is saying that it's going to be Mac, then I believe Tom. This whole time,
he said it should be.
Right. So, if Tom is leaning that way, and now it feels like everything is going in that direction, I've kind of changed my mind on it because I originally thought that Cam for sure would start the season. I don't know. Am I drinking the Kool-Aid now at this point? Are you guys feeling that it's going to be Mac?
No, I match exactly what you said, that I really thought it was going to be Cam, that Mac Jones has probably exceeded expectations. And I do believe, Tom, that anyone that's watched practice every day comes away thinking Mac Jones is already better. And that, watching the preseason games, you know, as much as I love Cam and want that, like I believe it because Mac Jones looks impressive. I also want to point out the history here. Tom Curran had one of the best calls in sports writer history. I'll never forget it. I think he was at the Providence Journal at the time. He was calling for Tom Brady before 2001. Drew Bledsoe was literally the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at the time. And Tom was calling him a hood ornament that Robert Kraft was putting on the front of his car, that contract. And he said Tom Brady was absolutely better and should have won that job to start 2001. And it was like, and it was like Tom Brady's boy for the rest of his career for that. And so I don't know if that sort of context matters to me here. I bet he's right. And I'm starting to think it will be Mac Jones week one.
I am wondering though, too, like as someone who's slightly dyslexic, this quarterback competition has been a problem for me because Mac and Cam are the same spelled backwards. Oh, is that an anagram or like can one of the listeners tell me what that is? Because an anagram, I think, is when you can rearrange all of the letters, but I feel like there's probably
a more specific
name.
Is it palindrome?
Or is that the one that sounds? I don't know. Somebody clear this up for us.
Palindrome is a word, phrase, or sequence that reads the same backward as forward.
Okay, great.
Palindrome.
Amazing. Thanks, Dan. I should have just texted you about this.
Should have hit me up. Any palindrome-related content.
It's a Dan Hansis shout-out.
Thank you, Paul Rudd. In other news, another quarterback news, Teddy Bridgewater won the Denver Broncos starting quarterback job. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, but I wanted to hear from Vic Fangio, and then Greg could do his little hype dance again, including a ridiculous tweet that he sent out we could talk about. Let's listen to Vic Fangio.
There wasn't a lot of separation. You know, they both guys had good camps. They both played well. Both had their down moments. Both had their good moments. Thought it was good overall for both of them. We just made this decision. We think it's for the best for the team right now moving forward. But we have two quarterbacks that we can win with, and unfortunately can't play with two.
All right, so here's the Greg Rosenthal tweet sent out yesterday. Was it last night, Greg?
No, right when the Teddy news happened. Soon after.
I will remember who jumped off the bandwagon when Teddy is starting a divisional round game in January. Do you want to put, good sir, a sandwich on it?
Ooh. I mean, not on them making the divisional round. Do you know what the odds are for that right now? Because I'm still going to, you know, I still believe it, but I'm not taking these bad odds. It's like, that's like a 5-to-1 odds right now, 3-to-1.
But you send out that tweet. And then if I ask you to back it up with a sandwich wager and you won't take the sandwich wager, and we don't even trade the damn sandwiches.
He takes it very seriously, clearly.
Then how much conviction can you really have in that tweet other than like a look at me tweet?
Everyone, even the people who usually like Teddy Bridgewater, jumped so far off the bandwagon by the end of last year and into this year. I truly believe this is a great team. And I think they're a Super Bowl team if they had Aaron Rodgers. But I think they're a playoff team. With Teddy Bridgewater, then they got to win a game. They got to win a game. Might have to be a road game with Kansas City in that division. So that could be tough. But I think they can get there.
But you tweeted it's going to be a home game, didn't you?
No, I didn't say a home game. I just said
starting a divisional round game. Come on, take the sandwich. Come on, get behind it.
Do it. Peer pressure.
Come on, bro. He's not going to do it just because of that.
Now.
I love hearing Greg talk about Teddy. Like, just you have a different glow about you today. Yeah, like when you talk about Teddy, it's just you have a twinkle in your eyes, Greg.
It's good to be a fan. You know, I need that in my life. Just unadulterated fandom. Let's ride these Broncos this year.
All right. Hot. Oh!
Please make that a drop.
Teddy Bridgewater's former teammate in Carolina. Remember, Teddy Bridgewater was in Carolina last year. Wasn't good enough, so they got rid of him. He is now in Denver, but Robbie Anderson still with the Panthers. And Robbie Anderson signed a very team-friendly deal in free agency last year and then outperformed that contract. And good on the Carolina Panthers, who went back to the table with Robbie and pounded out a 2-year, $29.5 million contract extension. So he was entering the final year of his deal. Now he's got some more security, a little more money. And I always liked Robbie Anderson, and I've liked almost everything Joe Douglas has done as GM of the Jets, but I never really understood why he wasn't more aggressive in trying to keep Anderson in the building in Florham Park. The Jets have moved on at wide receiver, and they're in a good place now. But Robbie Anderson is a good receiver, and he's got some swag. I like the way he carries himself, and he's a playmaker. This is a nice move, I thought, by the Panthers.
I love it. Undrafted out of Temple, Robbie Anderson was.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's a win for everyone in Philadelphia who's ever been counted out. So that's everyone in Philadelphia, basically. But
that's you, too?
That's me, too.
Yourself? Okay.
She did the grind. Yeah.
Who counted you out?
I once had a boss tell me I wasn't memorable enough to be on TV or on camera for anything before.
Whoa.
Like, I've
been
pulled off
shows. You should have had Greg Rosenthal as a boss.
Shows,
you would have really enjoyed that.
Right? But I like that Matt Rhule and Robbie Anderson have that history together from Temple, and Robbie and Sam Darnold have the history together from, you know, the Jets. Yep. And it's kind of like, even when you look at Robbie Anderson's touchdown catches, half of them came from Sam Darnold. So they all have this like nice little thing going on together. And I like that they're keeping it going.
Yeah. And DJ Moore is locked in next year, fifth year option. Christian McCaffrey's there. A lot of defensive talent. I like Matt Rhule. It's like you need an offensive line and a quarterback. That's what this season's about, to see if they have a quarterback. I don't think they have an offensive line yet, which could be a problem.
A little call back to the fantasy extravaganza, Greg. Who would you rather have on your fantasy team in 2021, Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore? Is it a wash?
It's pretty close. I mean, Moore just because like he's a little more consistent week to week, but in terms of just more receptions. But no, not a big difference. I'd rather have Robbie Anderson on my team, though, I think, you know, on a real team.
I have to be honest with you, Greg. I was crossing my fingers when the big fish, Evan Silva, got all in on Sam Darnold as a sleeper. I was hoping the gloves were going to come off. Ew. And you guys were going to start sparring. It didn't quite happen. But I do like that you guys are at opposite ends of the spectrum with Sam Darnold, and to see how that all plays out. And I get to sit it out, basically. Getting out of the Darnold game is really, I think, taken stress levels off me that I didn't need on me.
It's good for your health.
Yeah, that's the way to put it. I couldn't figure out how to say it. Thank you, Connie. All right, the Tennessee Titans will be without Ryan Tannehill for a little bit, potentially. He was placed on the reserve COVID list. He was vaccinated. He did speak out to Tannehill earlier heading into training camp, saying that he felt it was being put upon him, the need to be vaccinated. So he had said earlier in camp that he was in the process of being vaccinated. And if that is the case, if he got the jab, that means he'll be back rather quickly if he's not showing symptoms. And in other COVID news, Greg, a lot of like stuff going on with the Bills. I was on Sheck's show, the -3 podcast this week. It was great catching up with Dave Damashek and Eddie Spaghetti. And he had thrown out a theory that some of this COVID stuff, and they've had a lot of issues there with close contact, and obviously Cole Beasley, very outspoken, is that maybe the fly in the ointment when you try to figure out any way the Bills don't thrive and cruise to a division title? Do you think COVID is an actual issue that could shipwreck that team potentially?
No, not them versus any other team. They're over 90% vaccinated. Almost every team is at this point. It is really the exception, not the rule. The players like Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie, who both talked about getting fined. 25 players across the league were fined $14,000 and $14,500 for not wearing their masks. And the big news here is that if they are fined, if they violate that again, then they're then they can be suspended. So all those 25 players, so it's not just Cole Beasley, it's players all around the league, are kind of on notice. And I think all this COVID stuff is just a reminder, there's no magical difference between right now and week three. So if Ryan Tannehill's having a breakthrough case of COVID now and is out 5 days now, like, stuff like this is going to keep happening. It's like, I don't know if you, like, any school system, at least LA, like, where they're testing all the kids at school, you're not... Every single class is going to have one or two kids that have COVID at this point. And so, like, even it's the crazy. NFL is just being careful as they can. I don't know. It's just going to keep popping up. Like, I think that's what this Tannehill and all the COVID. There's a bunch of other starters that are on COVID list right now. Harold Landry, you know, all around the league.
Part of me was really optimistic that things would be quieter with
me
COVID
too.
This year. And yeah. Now it's obviously not the case at all, but it's almost like teams are playing football and they're playing COVID. Like we all are at this point. And
it's quieter, but it's not. It's still going to get in the way for sure. Unless like somehow everyone starts. I don't even know if there's a way to be, you know, to avoid it. I don't know.
I mean, I know that the Titans started, their protocols changed. So they're requiring masking all indoors now, regardless of vaccination status. So maybe there is some type of competitive advantage for teams that have really strict protocols, and we'll see if that maybe pays off. But it's almost like this is a whole experiment that nobody really knows what's going to happen from it.
Ah, hasn't this been so much fun? These last 18 months, hasn't it just been so great?
Oh, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
The gift keeps on giving, Matt Nagy to Bears fans, because Andy Dalton will indeed start week one against the Rams, and Andy Dalton will not play in the preseason finale because of it. Instead, it will be Justin Fields, who will start the team's final preseason game against the Titans, and he'll be playing with the backups. Greg, where do you come down on all this? How you feel about it? I know Fields hasn't lit it up here in the preseason. Are you feeling a little more comfortable about the Bears' decision-making here not to rush Fields, or does this seem silly to you?
It seems silly. I thought Fields looked better compared to his box score more than any of the rookie quarterbacks last week. I thought he played quite well. If you really watch snap to snap, the problem that both him and Andy Dalton have faced supposedly in practice and in the preseason is that their offensive line can't block anyone. Mm-hmm. You can make different arguments. Which guy do you want back there in that situation? I don't know. I think there's actually an argument that you'd rather have Andy Dalton in that situation because he gets the ball out quicker. That's Justin Fields' biggest bugaboo. But I think it's a big problem for either one of them. Fields just, to me, looks good enough that I just want to just play him. He's going to be playing by week two or three, so why mess around?
This is the problem with so many teams that have rookie quarterbacks or young, inexperienced quarterbacks, that they usually don't have good offensive lines, because they're usually teams mm-hmm. that are rebuilding. And we mentioned it at the top of the show with Trevor Lawrence. We saw it last year with Joe Burrow. That's the situation now in Chicago. And I don't know how rookies can progress when they don't have time, especially when the game is so much faster in the NFL. It's a really tough spot for a lot of the young quarterbacks, and it's really a rare lucky situation for a rookie to come in to a team that has a decent offensive line. But this has been the plan for the Bears the whole time. They haven't wavered. Dalton played the most preseason drives among projected starting quarterbacks the entire preseason, so you can tell that this is what we're doing.
Fields hasn't played with the starters at all. That part of it seems weird to me. Not just in the games, but in practice. Like, they're not even giving him a chance. It's like, why not? Because he's going to be playing with those guys eventually. So just play him. He's also running a ton. More than he did in college. He looks so good as a runner.
Do you think Matt Nagy just thinks that he has a better shot of keeping his job if they play Andy Dalton?
I don't know. Maybe it's like this loyalty thing.
It's gotta be, right?
I think he thinks that Andy Dalton's going to be better than people think, and I think he feels some sort of strange loyalty and that he made a decision and he's just going to stick to it, even if he changes it after 2 weeks, which feels like where it's going
to
go.
Well, he's trying to win, right? Like that's over everything. And whether or not us on the outside or Bears fans that are screaming and booing Andy Dalton in preseason games see it, like, Nagy has his opinion. He's the guy in the big chair, and he thinks that Dalton's the guy right now. And it might be proven to be a mistake, but guess what, Bears fans? If he's messed up on this and it turns out Justin Fields is awesome, probably will help toward getting this guy out of town if you don't like him anyway. If Fields can play, it's all going to work out. You know, it just might be temporary. I think just as like a football fan, I think all of us are a little bummed out about Sunday Night Football Week 1 because mm-hmm. you wanted to have Justin Fields playing against the Rams here in Hollywood Park. But that's life. You never
know. We'll be taping a podcast and there'll be a live football game, you know, like 100 yards away, assuming we're in the studio. That is pretty wild.
I don't know why I keep picturing like Matt Nagy and Andy Dalton doing some type of Blood Brothers pact, like in The Hangover. Like they go out and I don't know. It just feels like so weird, this situation in general.
I was just imagining, suddenly thinking about that Sunday night. What if the Rams, you know, they're always looking for extra pop. You know, they're pretty friendly. What if they built like a temporary podcast studio that could like be above the field as the game is being played? Like we're like 100 feet up. That stadium
that feels
is gigantic.
Way too dangerous.
Like we're in the middle of the scoreboard or something like that, and they're just like, oh, up there, they're taping the Around the NFL podcast, and we're
so
on
if
some
we had
risers
like
or something.
High tension wires. How about this?
Yeah.
Like the Kirk Cousins plexiglass cube that he's going to live in this season. Put us in that. Make it soundproof, of course, but poke some holes in that to make sure we don't suffocate. And then you just slide us on the high tension wire right over midfield.
Yeah.
Or like Lady Gaga even. You guys could just be suspended.
Right. Oh, I mean, maybe it could be during the pregame if you don't want us to be like interrupting. That could be okay. Or during halftime, you like turn the volume up so everyone can hear the podcast. You know, we could workshop this.
We're all in the Lady Gaga diamond cat suits from the Super Bowl performance.
And then we just jump off and then there's a sudden smash cut to like a... her in real life. That'd be great.
Finally in the news. Oh, yes. The International Series is back for the NFL. There are two games in London. My New York Jets against the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins at the Jacksonville Jaguars, October 10th and October 17th, respectively, at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tickets went on sale this week. And I've been told by a reliable source in this realm that there were 60,000 people in the waiting room when the tickets went on sale. Almost everything gobbled up immediately. But if you were interested in going to see one of the London games, head over to NFL.com or NFL.com/UK/London-games. And there might be some tickets still available. But that's great. That's the one thing. Those stadiums are always filled. And we've been lucky enough to go twice now. And we're hoping to go again in October. Those stadiums are always filled, and it's always a great environment, and it will be again this year.
I've seen crowds there that are better than some Super Bowl crowds. That is not an exaggeration.
What time is that kickoff, West Coast? Is that like one of the 6:30? Yes. Yeah. I'm doing the pregame show for that. So I think I have to get into the studio at like 4 a.m. or something. So tune in, everybody.
2:30 in London. So I guess, yeah, 6:30 on the left coast. And I think these tickets might actually all be gone now. But it's worth checking out if you are looking to go and you haven't invested in that yet. Before we go, that's what's happening in the news. And we are trying to get there. We're trying to get there to London. We're trying to clear some hurdles. But it's certainly it's in play. Before we go, I wanted to share something from Hard Knocks this week. And Ricky, why don't we play it out? Play it out this way. Deep thoughts with Dak Prescott. And for some reason, I think, Connie, that you will relate to this extended monologue.
Is this the Spanx thing?
No, that's different. That would be very rude for me to say that to you. That is not what I'm referring to. No, you didn't wear Under Armour to school when you were a teenager to, quote, tuck in the chub.
Nope, did not. Can confirm.
This is different. I think you might relate to it. Here is Deep Thoughts with Dak Prescott. Hit it, Ricky. When I was younger, I used to be scared of people in costumes. Anybody in a costume. I'm talking decently old, too. Like middle school, I wasn't sure. I don't know. I just had a f***ed up head. I used to think that would be the best way to injure or hurt somebody if you wanted to. You think that's that person in the costume. You don't know who that is. He's up to something. That's why I never did anything haunted. I used to tell my mom, that's the perfect place to kill somebody. Why would I do that? I told her that. She understood. Never made me. Y'all think it's a fake chainsaw. You don't know. One of them crazy f***ers put a blade on that f*** one day. That shit is stupid. Until next week, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.